Shall we lift our hands to heaven? What a joy to be in your presence, our Father and our God. What a joy to be grateful for your mercies, for your kindness, for your grace, for your provision, and for all the good things of life you have given to us alongside with Jesus Christ. We give you glory and praise for this place today. Thank you for bringing your people to their own place. Thank you that they will not have to move again and again and again, but that you will continue to extend the frontiers of the kingdom of God through them here. Receive all the glory and all the praise, and let everyone participating go back home with joy. In Jesus' mighty name, and the people said, amen. Praise to the Lord. This is Melbourne. Okay, I'm in the right place. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah!
Sometimes I think we need to take you to Africa because almost everything is provided for you here, so you don't have any reason to really, really praise the Lord the way we do in Africa. When we say praise the Lord, hallelujah, the roof wants to... Somebody praise the Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated in his presence. Good afternoon. God bless you. Everywhere I go, I'm beginning to discover that believers can be selfish. I say, good afternoon, God bless you, say, amen. How about me? So if I say, good afternoon, God bless you, you say, amen, and you point to me and say, God bless you too. You carry God and I carry God, the God you carry, the God I carry. We bless one another in his name. Good afternoon, God bless you.
Amen. God bless you too.
Amen. You have just seen the law of the harvest in action. One man said, God bless you. You said, amen. And the whole multitude here said, God bless me. And I said, amen. Look at how many blessings I've received already. Somebody praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My wife and I are quite excited to be back in Melbourne. It's not our first, second, third, neither will it be our last time. But we're glad to be with our very own Pastor Shei and Pastor Mopelola, the king and the queen of their household. and with all our friends, Pastor Ross, who robbed me of my tea maker, his darling wife. I was telling them yesterday, I said, Pastor Ross had robbed me of the woman that made tea for me for about 15, 20 years of my life every time I would go to Moa for the Global Leaders Summit. It's so good to see you here again. God bless you. And God bless all our friends from far and near who are here today. And God bless the family of the, if I say Oluwashola, the one has not changed his name. So we will find a way of baptizing him before he goes to know that Oguolishola. Praise the Lord. What a joy to celebrate this moment with you. The family, the siblings, the children, every one of you, God bless you real good. And I want to especially thank God for the City of Refuge family, for standing with your pastor when he was declaring the Lord is going to provide a campus when there is no single building anywhere. The one that you thought would be it, according to the testimony, fell true. And at that moment, God said, I'm not giving you a building, I'm giving you a campus that will have many buildings. And that's difficult to believe. Well, we rejoice that it has happened today. And we are here to dedicate the campus unto the Lord God, the owner of heaven and earth, and to say that the things that will be done in here will please him every time in the name of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to have a building, is another thing to use it to extend the frontiers of the kingdom and to advance its purpose on the face of the earth. You can have the most magnificent building. If it's not used for God, it will soon be broken down. Example is Temple of Solomon. It was magnificent. Kings and queens came. Paul the Apostle in Romans said, God that we serve does not dwell in tents made with human hands, but he instructed people to build all the same, so that his people can gather together and learn of him and know of him and manifest him in every sphere of their endeavors. So today we are not just dedicating a physical building, we are also looking into the lives of the people within the building. Because if you don't build the people, they will destroy the building you have built. It does not matter how magnificent. The moment sin begins to dwell in there, Jesus will call it a den of thieves. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for many nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. In Jesus' name, this will never become a den of thieves. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, I have a few thoughts to share. It's just a time to celebrate God, to thank him for provision, and to let people know that what you have seen here, God can multiply it and duplicate it all over this city. That what he has done for one, he can do for all. How many people believe that?
Amen.
I can hear you.
Amen.
How many women touched the hem of the garment of Jesus and got healed? Huh?
One.
I can hear you.
One.
I'll repeat myself. How many people touched the garment of Jesus and got healed? One woman started it, said within her heart, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she got that miracle instantly. I was teaching in Moa a few days back at the strategy session, and I said, what is interesting about God is that what he has done for one, he can do for all. There is no amount of money big enough to dent God's account. What he has done for one, he can do for all. So there's no room or basis for competitive jealousy. I thank God for the life of my friend and destiny partner, Dr. Jonathan David. Of all men that I've worked with in life, I can single him out as one who is not competing with me and I'm not competing with. Pastors, we compete among ourselves. Who has a bigger church? Who has a larger crowd? Who has the account? Who has a... No. There's no one that God has not really blessed except you don't know how to access it. He sent Jesus to the whole world, not to the church. Are you with me? And in Moa, I shared with them that the miracle of that healing was, in mathematics, simultaneous equation. Can I explain it for a moment? I'm still greeting you. If you're familiar with my ministry, I'm just still greeting you, saying, hello, how are you doing? You understand simultaneous equation? How long did that woman suffer for? 12 years. Thank you, sir. You must be a senior pastor. God bless you. 12 years. You must have read the thing so he knows. 12 years. And what is simultaneous equation? That if a problem is being solved here, it's also being solved in the other end. Who came to call Jesus that day? Jairus. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, came to call Jesus. Why? Religion has failed him. He was the ruler of the synagogue, but there was no power in religion. So he had to look for Jesus, who had power, to heal his daughter. So he came, Master, my daughter is sick at the point of death. Come and heal her. And Jesus turned to go this way with Jairus. And the woman coming from the other angle came in and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, who touched me? He said, how can you see somebody touched you? People are thronging. He said, this touch is different. Now that's what I want to leave behind for every member of this church and for every person who has come to celebrate with us today, that don't just wait for God to touch you. You must have enough faith to touch God. He said, this touch is different because everyone is looking for Jesus to lay hands on him. And that woman said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, that shall be made whole. And instantly she was healed. Jesus said, who touched me? Peter said, they're trembling. No, virtue left me. We are going to draw from God today. Can I hear amen? You are going to release your faith to draw everything you need. In the mighty name of Jesus. I'm not just talking material, I'm talking the tangibility of his presence in your life, because the presence of God commands the miraculous. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Now, what's the Samaritan's equation here? The woman had been ill for 12 years. Doctors have been taking advantage of her, prescribing all kinds of drugs, and nothing was working. Instead of getting better, she was getting worse. And then she heard Jesus was in town. She said, you know what? I've tried all doctors, but I perceive this doctor is different. And instantly, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, when she came out. And they went to the house of Jairus. What do you think happened there? They told Jesus, don't bother anymore. She's dead. And Jesus said, don't listen to them. Just let's go. And they started mocking him. And he stepped in there, took Peter, James, and John, and drove all the others out, and raised the girl from the dead, and returned her to her father as he gave her something to eat. Now, this is the simultaneous equation. How old was the girl? 12 years. So the day the woman's issue of blood started was the day she was born. And so in one day, God solved problems of two families. I don't care what your problem is tonight. If you are trusting God for a breakthrough, you are in a place where it will be your portion.
Amen.
Can I hear amen?
Amen.
No, I'm not sure you got me. If you are trusting God for a breakthrough in any area of your life, the way God has done it for the City of Refuge family is going to do it for you.
Amen.
Why? Because of what is called the immutability counsel of God. God is immutable.
Yes.
If you're watching television and you don't want to hear, what do? You press pause. You mute it. But you can't mute God. It's immutable. Once he speaks his word, he will ensure that the word comes to pass. Now, one woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment and God hold, and the news spread abroad.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what followed next? Let's look at Mark chapter 5 and Mark chapter 6. And after greeting you, then I'll prophesy and I'll be free to go. Can I hear? Amen. The story begins from verse number 21. You will see the title there, A Girl Restored to Life and a Woman Healed. All right. A girl restored to life and a woman healed. Who did Jesus first heal? The woman. But who was the principal reason for this story? Jairus. And simultaneously, Jesus healed 12 years ailment and raised a 12-year-old dead child. Come with me to chapter 6. This is where I'm going to ask you to stand and believe God this evening for the type of breakthroughs that we are experiencing here will be your portion. In the mighty name of Jesus. Mark chapter 6, verse 53. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. I want you to read that. The people, say it again. The problem of so many people who are not receiving anything from Jesus is that they do not place the right recognition on him. They think he's a religious figure. They think he's someone in history that has gone past. They do not know he's alive today. When the moment it came out, they recognized him. Have you read the story of the people of Israel when they were being oppressed in Egypt? Another king arose that did not recognize Joseph. It's not that history of Joseph had been taken away from the curriculum, but he just didn't pay attention to it. Because God was setting up Pharaoh to demonstrate his power. I want to ask you a question today. Do you just go to Jesus, to the church, or do you really recognize Jesus for who he is? Do you? They recognized him. And see what followed that recognition. They had heard the story of the woman that was healed by touching the hem of his garment. And here, they ran through that whole surrounding region, began to carry about on beds those who were sick, to wherever they heard the words. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. What he did for one, he can do for all. So stand to your feet today. There's no room for competitive jealousy. There's no room for saying, oh, why will God do it for him and not do it for me? He's ready to do it for all. I want you to lay hold. Release your faith tonight. What he has done for one, he can do for all. God can multiply his miracles and his presence in this nation, in this city, all across Melbourne, all across Australia, in the mighty name of Jesus. In New Zealand, everywhere, everywhere, in the name of Jesus. What you have done for one, you can do for all. We stand in awe of you today. We recognize you, Jesus, for who you are and for what you can do. And we lay hold of your promises in Jesus' mighty name. And the people said, amen. One of my favorite hymns, because I want the choir to go and sit and participate in this. One of my favorite hymns is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. We were so poor that we couldn't take insurance until Jesus saved us and we have Blessed Assurance. You understand me? Blessed Assurance, shall we sing it together tonight? Because this is a foretaste of his glory divine. Over to you. Oh, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Yes, of salvation.
Purchase
of blood.
Purchase of blood.
And born of his spirit.
Born of his spirit.
And washed in his blood.
Washed in his blood.
This is my story.
This is my story.
Praising my Savior.
Praising my Savior. All that day long.
This is my story, Lord.
My story. This is my story.
Praising my Savior.
Praising my Savior, all the day long.
I want to ask a question, then I will pray, then I will share one or two thoughts, and this service will be over. How many of you want God to do something in your life that will make you praise him every day, all day long? Listen, it doesn't matter how clear the sky is, there will be clouds. There will be clouds somewhere. There will be days that you are down, there will be days that you are up. But how many of you want him to do something in your life that no matter how cloudy the weather is, no matter the thunderstorms, no matter what is happening, there's evidence inside of your spirit that your job is to praise him, because if the enemy cannot steal your joy, he cannot keep your goods. Lord, I am praying today that you will do a significant thing in the life of these people, that they will have cause to praise you every day, all day long. Do it for them, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated in his presence. My assignment is very simple tonight. Very, very simple. The first announcement and the first proclamation I came here to make is to tell the City of Refuge family that you are no longer in Egypt and your years and days of wilderness are over.
Yeah.
That's not just a figment of my imagination. When they sent me the flyer for the dedication of this facility, and Pastor spoke to me about the prophecy that you just heard in 2022, I held my peace. I want God to speak to me so that I do not go everywhere and say the same thing everywhere. Because you're all different, destinies are at stake in meetings like this. But God is going to bring you into alignment with His plan and His purpose, such that what others are looking for will be looking for you. I'm not sure you are getting that. You know, people look for things, but there are other people, things look for them.
Yes.
My first assignment tonight is to, this afternoon, see, it's very simple. When you are still in Egypt, you are under oppression. Pharaoh will ask you to make bricks and will not give you straw. You work so hard like an elephant and you eat like an ant. You will not have so much to show for your faith. But the more they afflicted them, the more they grew. The day came when they were out of Egypt, and what others are laboring to do had already been done for them. So this is the first proclamation to everyone in the City of Refuge family. You are no longer in Egypt, and your days of the wilderness are over.
Amen.
What is the proof? The book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I'll read from verse 10 to 14. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 from verse number 10 to 14. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, in out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What is the proof that they were out of the land of Egypt? Four things. Cities large and beautiful that they did not build. Pastor Shee, did you build Melbourne?
No.
Pastor Mukulola, did you build Australia? Where did you come from? I don't want to mention the city in Nigeria. It's far. It's one of the best. Yeah, because it produced you. That makes you the best. Now look at all the beautiful things that God has done in Australia. We know the history of Australia. We know how England wanted to treat this place as an underworld. But see what the Lord has done with Australia today. See the city of Melbourne. I once had the privilege of sitting at your parliament here and to discuss with lawmakers there. Listen to me. You didn't plant this city. You didn't build this nation. God took you from the shores of Africa and he brought you here to a land you did not build. When you begin to prosper in such environment, you must give thanks to God. Because there are people like you who are still suffering. In fact, some of them are illegal immigrants. They are hiding from the hands of the Lord. But Lord preserved you, kept you, and your children. Yes, you paid some price, pressing into God. But see what the Lord has done today. And those of you who have fled Nigeria, you will come back. By the time the Lord will turn the captivity of Zion, you will return and you plant other people here. Everything you are learning now, you are going to bring back home from Canada. See, four things here. Cities, land which you did not build. Next thing. Houses full of good things. Sir, did you fill this auditorium with these chairs? God gave the assignment to some other people. and they built. Bless them. They will continue to prosper because they have made this available to us. They did all the furniture, all the furnishing to details, and they put everything and they said, hey, it's yours. Just pay us. Look at him, wells that you did not dig. You turn any water faucet here, water is running. You put on the switch, let there be light as long as you pay your bills. There'll be light. These are clear evidence that God's hand is upon you to do you good. You are no longer under the oppression of Egypt. He has brought you to a land which you did not build, houses which you did not build, vineyards you did not plant. Just look at your environment and see what God has done. It's called ready-made. Just move in. Oh, please lift up your hands and thank him. You are no longer in Egypt. The wilderness years are over. Bless God, oh my soul. You are no longer in Egypt. The wilderness years are over. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you're listening to me and if you're opening your spirit, you will understand that the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 and 2 that if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and obey his commandments, these blessings will pursue you and overtake you. Now, doesn't it look like pastor is stupid? You just lost a building, you lost money while you are trying to get the building. Some money was not paid back to you. Rather than going to court to fight, you stood still and did not fight. And God said, I've prepared a place for you. It's called the campus. You call the place campus and say, the campus. Even your members will leave you. At that stage, they said, this man is running crazy. Now, we don't know whether he's on opium because we just lost a building. And he said, God has just made a promise. People, let's just press into God. You said it. The person who gave the testimony also testified. He said, at a point, I don't know what to believe, but we kept on pressing since Pastor said it. Now, supposing it doesn't come to pass, you know what it will be called? Fake pastor. False prophet. And yet God is capable of telling you to do something, and you do it, and then he pulled the rug under your feet. He told Jonah, go declare to Nineveh, in 3 days Nineveh will be overthrown. Jonah ran away, said, I'm not interested. Look for somebody else. God arrested him, put him in a submarine, brought him to the same land. The fish opened his mouth. Many of you do not know that the worshippers of Nineveh, they worship the god fish, the fish god. And so when the fish vomited Jonah, they said, our God has spoken. God cut them. The whole city repented. And God did not destroy Nineveh. Oh, God. Jonah was angry. Lord, how can you do this to me? He's the Almighty. He said, what did you create that you want me to destroy these people who do not know their left from their right? They repented. I relented. And you will call Jonah a false prophet because what he said did not come to pass immediately until you step into the book of Nahum and see, according to the prophecy of Jonah the son of Amittai, the whole of Nineveh was wiped out when they did not continue with God. Prophecies are time bomb. They're going like that. And they will be fulfilled. That's why you must not be afraid to declare boldly the word of God. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and obey his commandments, this blessing shall pursue you and overtake you. This blessing shall does not mean it's automatic. It shall is a futuristic statement that as you continue to listen and as you continue to obey, you get to the place where the blessings now overtake you and you are telling God, Lord, it's enough. Look for another address. I can't handle it anymore. Now, is that your life? Are you the one pursuing blessings or blessings pursuing you? Is a byproduct of your obedience to God. if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and obey his commandments. I'm here to announce my second announcement, that for you to prosper and be in health and for sorrow not to be added to your blessing, you need a spiritual GPS. You need a spiritual GPS. You may not know every one of you enjoying GPS. Go and dig into the history of GPS. It was invented by two Nigerians. Yet you dismiss us as we are nobody. It was invented by two. Go and dig the history. And they sold the product out after they developed and invented it. You are using GPS now. Sir, do you have a GPS in your car?
Yes, sir.
You do. How does it function?
It's origination and destination.
Origination
and destination.
And how does it guide you?
Yeah, you have to trust it and follow the
prompts. Okay. You have?
You have to follow it, the prompts.
Uh-huh.
Once you put your destination, you follow it.
It's okay. It has GPS, I know. If it doesn't have it, it will not know how it functions. There's a map there that is taking you to your destination little by little, and there's a prompting, a voice saying, in 5 minutes, you turn right. In 5 kilometers or whatever, you turn left. If you don't follow the voice and follow the map, you will not get to your destination.
Yes.
You need a spiritual GPS. To hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God is the voice of the Spirit. To obey his commandments is the map. When you follow the map and you listen to the voice, you get to where you are going. What you are looking for is not lost. What you are looking for is not lost. Stop looking in wrong places. How many drug barons came here to give you money to buy this place?
None.
Now, if you believe the Lord your God, you'll be established. If you believe his prophets, you'll prosper.
Amen.
Words were spoken to create this planet. The same God who created the planet now spoke through the pastor. He says, I'm giving you a campus. Come, what, God? What did he just say? Campus. And the man was bold. Well, he learned from me. Because he had listened to some things that do not make sense,
yes,
that I declare from pulpit, and he said, can't this man just keep quiet for a change? So now when the same story came upon him, he began to declare things his eyes have not seen, things his ears have not heard. Church, we are going to have a campus. Church, we are going to have a campus. Church, we are going to have a campus. And then you kept on saying the campus. Okay, here is the campus. It's no longer a dream, it's a reality.
Amen.
You need a spiritual GPS. So this day, as you listen, the Lord God Almighty will activate the spirit in you. In Jesus' name, you will gain understanding. For there's a spirit in man. The inspiration of God gives them understanding. May the inspiration of God give your spirit understanding that you follow his GPS. Shall we read this in your Bible? Psalm 119. Pastor Shea had been following that GPS. That's why you are here. The rest of you are going to get your own, not just in your car, in your spirit, man. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Psalm 119, verse 17 to 19. Psalm 119, verse 17 to 19. Listen to me. If you are not familiar with an area, that's when you need a GPS. When the barrister was bringing us to church today, he did not use GPS to get here. He knows this place. Now, if Bola has to bring me here, he will need to GPS to really listen and study, because he doesn't know. When you are not familiar with the terrain, you are a stranger in the world. Do you understand? You are a stranger in the world. You need a GPS. Look at it. Psalm 119, verse 17. Psalm 119, 17. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. You can lay hold of this and say, give me my GPS. Give me my spiritual GPS. I want to hear your voice. I want to follow your commandments. I need grace to be a doer of your word and not hearer only. These are the things, the tools you need to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing. There's a spiritual GPS. If you don't have it, you are groping in the dark. I've given the second assignment. Let me go quickly to the third assignment. Why is this place called the campus? The understanding of the pastor is multiple buildings. Like the church, God has given us a campus. It's not just going to be a building, it will be many buildings. And at least they got three in one. They fulfilled it. But why would God name it the campus? Does God have any other reason beyond three or four buildings? Please make up your mind whether or not you follow God. Because God will tell you things that if you say outside, they can shoot you. I'm serious. Prophet Isaiah was married, wasn't he? He was married. He had a wife. If you read Isaiah chapter 8, he had a wife and he produced children. And God said, give them this type of name because of what I'm about to do. There's something hidden in the name that God gives. That you have to press into him to find out, what is it, Lord, that you are giving us this name? Look at me for a moment. My father had 22 children in his lifetime. And guess what my number was and still is? Number 22. When I was born, I was lame in both feet. I couldn't walk. I was crawling on my buttocks. And people look at my mother and said, at last you got a child. See what kind of child you got. But about before my third birthday, my father died, and they began to fight over property. Boom, boom. They began to kill themselves. By the time they got to me, they said, this one is already dead. There is no point killing him. They did not know it was a divine detour, that God allowed that to happen in my life so that I can escape untimely death. After my third birthday, I jumped up and I started running. It was not at a crusade. It was the mercy of God. It was not anybody laying hands on me. It was the mercy of God. Do you know it is not only your faith that God uses to heal you? Huh? Are you aware of that? Okay, I've lost half of the congregation. I know the just shall live by his own faith. I know without faith it's impossible to please God. But the woman that we just read, didn't we just read about her? It was her faith. That your faith has made you whole. And Jesus stepped into another city. Multitudes came who had heard the testimony. They acted on that and they got a result. But thereafter, Jesus came to the place you call Gadarene. And there met a Gadarene demoniac, inhabited by many demons, breaking chains, dwelling in the tomb. Nobody could restrain him. And he cried, Jesus, we know who you are. And Jesus said, who are you? He said, we are legion. What's inside? He said, legion. And they began to plead with him, don't cast us out into the abyss yet. Our time has not come. They were negotiating with Jesus. And said, okay, what do I do? He said, okay, you see those wines upon the mountains of culture? That's what is going to give this country and the nations of the earth peace. When the pigs on the mountain of culture all drown, when righteous men take their position upon the mountains. Do you know what healed the man? It wasn't faith. He had no faith in Jesus. He was demon-possessed. He had no faith at all. And then he wanted to follow Jesus after he had been healed. Jesus said, no. Don't follow me. Go back and tell your people and your family what how God had showed you mercy. Mercy also heals. The mercy of God can heal people who do not have faith because he wants to deliver them. Do you understand me? Thank God for faith, but even faith outside of mercy will not function properly. Are you with me? I want you to understand this. May the Lord be merciful unto you today. May he block every hole in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. May he turn situations around so that you can say what is impossible has now become possible in the mighty name of Jesus. That gathering demoniac got healed and went to 10 cities to declare how God showed him mercy. God is about to give you a new testimony. The mercy of the Lord will locate you. I said the mercy of the Lord will locate you in the name of Jesus. That brings us to why the campus. Shall we do some work here?
Yes, sir.
How long do I have left? 10 minutes. The Lord gave the name the campus because it's a befitting name to the owner of the building. You didn't hear me. I said, the Lord gave you the name, the campus, for this building because it's a right, appropriate, prophetic name for the building that belongs to the City of Refuge family. All right, let's look into that for a moment. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The word campus is Latin for a field or an expanse surrounded. I'm not saying this from thus saith the Lord. I did my study in order to get to where I am today. The word campus is Latin for a field or an expanse surrounded. You can just go to Google and put campus. It will tell you what I'm saying to you. I know Google generation, if you don't meet them at their levels, you say, what is he saying? All right. According to Google, not according to God, according to Google, the word campus was first used in 1774 to describe the large field adjacent Nassau Hall at the College of New Jersey, now Princeton University. The field then separated Princeton from the small town nearby. Now, when you are called the campus, it means you are fenced around. His presence surrounds you, separates you from every danger and every arm in that vicinity. Do you understand me? The presence of God surrounds you. Like he said, Jerusalem will no longer, you will not need walls around Jerusalem. The walls around it will be the fire of God, according to Zechariah chapter 2. So when you call the campus, you are not just surrounded by iron and pillars all around you. The presence of God shields you from everything that happens. And why should that happen? Because you are a city of refuge. That's where strangers run into when they run from adversity. So the significance of the name of the building is that you are surrounded by God because you are a city of refuge. Are you familiar with the city of refuge in the Bible? God spoke to Moses. So when you get to the promised land, take six cities, and dedicate them as cities of refuge. So that if anyone kills anyone unintentionally, he can run there for safety, and the avenger will not go kill him until he's brought before the elders and the congregation. And he said, this is for citizens, for sojourners, and for strangers. Now get ready for strangers and sojourners looking for you. Amen. Because they know an announcement is made in the spirit that you are the campus.
So they are looking for protection from adversity, from trouble, from everything that's afflicting them. And they are looking, where is the city of refuge? They say, go to the campus. Because the campus is surrounded, is a city of refuge. Now, if you want to do a thorough study of this, then take the cities one after the other. I don't have the time. I will send this to you, Pastor. Moses set apart three cities before he died. And names were given to them. But it was Joshua who set apart the last three cities, and names were given to them. If you want to understand your prophetic destiny, go to the last three cities set up by by Joshua, and you realize why you are called the campus, and why the campus has three buildings. You will study that, or you want me to begin to share it with you? You will get the details from Pastor. I have limited time. When I had the campus, that was what hit me. The Holy Ghost said, I'm setting him up as a city of refuge, and I'm going to surround him with my presence. Every man in danger, every man in adversity, every man oppressed, we run in here and find safety. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because of the significance of that, let me share with you how you greet yourself hereafter. If you get to the Citadel Global Community Church, they say, welcome to the Citadel Global Community Church, where stars are born and where great futures are created. Welcome to the home of consummate and consensus nation builders, whose hearts are open to the plans of the Holy Spirit, and in whose lives all things godly are possible because they choose to win. Now, it looks long to you, but that's the way we greet ourselves all the time. And people in our church, you know, you can only win by righteousness. So don't bring magumago or trick and anything around us, no. So how do you greet yourself hereafter? Because God has not only given you the name City of Refuge Family, he has also given you the name of your compound or campus. Campus. How do you greet yourself? Strangers, foreigners, citizens. We come in here and find protection from adversity, from danger, from everything that's afflicting in society. And you will not need, before I teach you that, then I prophesy, I go and sit down. Can I show you something else? Pastor Ross, can I show them something? Do you permit me to, shall I? Do you allow me to, gentlemen? Because nobody knows better than the other. Iron sharpens iron. I want to ask you a question. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus after he was baptized in River Jordan. And God spoke, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Where did the Holy Ghost take him next? The Holy Ghost drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. Right? You find that in Luke chapter 4. And the Bible says, and Jesus returned to Galilee, and his fame spread abroad. Why did they want to stone him when he came to Nazareth, his own place of birth? No, the moment he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, an announcement was made in the realm of the Spirit that a new sheriff is in town who will checkmate you, and you can't do what you are doing anymore. The fame that spread abroad was not amongst people, it was in the realm of the Spirit. So whenever God gives you a new name, and gives you an opportunity to demonstrate that name, an announcement is made in the Spirit that a new sheriff is in town. He's going to chase you out of town. The devil took notice that Jesus had power and dominion to stop all his activities. If you don't understand that, you go to the book of Acts 19, when the sons of Sceva tried to demonstrate the power they didn't have. In the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, come out. They jumped on them, seven of them, tore them naked and drove them out of town because the devil said to them, Jesus, we acknowledge. Paul, we have been told about. But you have no authority. In the name of Jesus, everyone in this ministry, you'll be branded for Christ and you'll be noted in hell. You will carry the authority of God to function properly as a City of Refuge Family, operating within the campus. Can I hear amen? Yeah. All right then. How do we greet ourselves hereafter? I'm not saying you must do this. I'm saying this is just the way God led me to share with you. Are you ready? Yeah. Come on, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Stand to your feet and turn to your neighbor. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Come on now. Today, by the grace of God and the unction of the Holy Spirit, we declare that the campus of the City of Refuge Family is a safe place.
Amen.
It's a shelter.
Amen.
And protection.
Amen.
From danger.
Amen.
And difficulties of life.
Amen.
And all challenges of life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So turn to your neighbor. Only one is enough. If you turn to two, one by one, turn to your wife, turn to someone, and say with me, welcome to the City of Refuge, Family Campus. Say it again, welcome to the City of Refuge, Family Campus. A place for citizens, for strangers, and for sojourners. A shelter, protection, a safe place from danger and difficulty, provided for all people by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Welcome to a safe place. 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 Welcome for divine protection. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome in Jesus' mighty name. While you are still standing, I'd like to make a proclamation and declare from the word of God what he puts in my spirit to prophesy over this household. Hallelujah. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon the City of Refuge Family. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you.
Amen.
The nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising.
Amen.
Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nurse on your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. And your hearts shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. You shall drink the milk of the nations and milk the breasts of their kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, the Savior, am your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Now, this is where you get ready. The reason God catapulted you from the place where you are managing into this place of abundance is because God is going to give you supernatural increase that you do not labor for. You understand me? It's called upgrade operations. Say upgrade operations. I can't hear you. Say upgrade operations. Instead of bronze, God will bring gold to you. Instead of iron, he will bring silver to you. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. It will make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting or destruction within your borders. But you shall call your wall salvation and your gates praise. A little one among you shall become a thousand, and a small one among you shall become a strong nation. That is the prophetic destiny of the City of Refuge Family. That is the purpose of this building called, this building is called the campus. Can I hear you say the campus? What is it called? The campus. Because you are shielded and surrounded. The favor of God and the favor of men, his presence will guide you, protect you. Strangers and sojourners and citizens will come and say, show us the way of the Lord. That is your portion. Congratulations. We dedicate this building to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the I am that I am, to the only living God. We dedicate this building to for the use of mankind, to deliver men from oppression, to deliver them from lack, to bring them into intimacy with God and with the Holy Spirit. So it is decreed, and so shall it be established. The blood of Jesus will answer for you, and the blood of Jesus will speak against your enemies. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Receive all the glory, all the praise, and all the adoration for the campus of the City of Refuge family. In Jesus' mighty name, and the people said,
Amen.